You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. Number 34, everything you need to know about a vegan diet for diabetes. Thank you so much for being here. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Monturi, and I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the planet, and for animal welfare. A plant-based diet consists of delicious plants that include grains like brown rice and quinoa, legumes like beans and lentils, vegetables, fruits, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. It excludes all meat, dairy, and eggs. It has been a very busy month so far. I just got back from the Natural Foods Expo, which is like this gigantic trade show that specializes in natural and organic products. And I'm happy to say the future is plants. Here is one of the many interesting statistics I learned. According to the Nutrition Business Journal, 36% of consumers prefer plant-based milks today. That number was simply unimaginable when I first started out on a vegan diet in 2011. There are many reasons for this trend, and one of the reasons are millennials. Millennials are the generation most likely to consume plant-based food, with nearly a third reporting that they consume meat alternatives every day. Wow. Now, they are not the only ones, because seniors are also leading the charge, because they are now aware of the connection between their health and what they eat. Other major reasons for the shift: animal welfare and environmental issues are one of the strongest drivers to a plant-based diet. And last but not least, there is a major consumer evolution going on. And today's consumer has taken empowerment to the next level. The consumer of today is intelligent. The consumer of today is more educated about the food they eat. The consumer of today has more access to information because of the internet. And the consumer of today reads food labels. Many brands are understanding this in trying to make healthier options. Some still have their head in the sand. I have so many brands that reach out to me to promote their vegan bars or protein powders, and I look at the ingredients and I say, no, that won't work. And they say, why not? And I will say, you have 3 grams of saturated fat in your protein bar or 600 milligrams of sodium. That's not healthy. Honestly, it is not easy to find the right brands to sponsor this podcast, so I am always grateful when the right ones come along. At any rate, the future of protein is plants, and everyone here listening to this podcast is leading the charge. And if you are just stopping by for the first time and want to embrace a plant-based diet, full or part-time, it is easier than you think. If you need help getting started, please listen to my podcast number 1, Getting Started on a Plant-Based Diet, and number 10, How to Get Optimal Nutrition on a Plant-Based Diet. Now, let's talk about diabetes. I have to admit, this was a difficult subject to research because it is so far-reaching, and I wanted to provide the most useful information I could. People who suffer from diabetes can have so many hurdles, like not being able to eat sugar, not knowing what to eat, too much conflicting information, energy levels are down, poor digestion. Losing weight is extremely hard. Controlling blood glucose seems impossible. Some diabetics suffer from neuropathy, which are like lightning bolts of pain. And some people just feel like crap in general. My goal today is to break it all down best as I can and help you feel your best. And if you don't suffer from diabetes, please know that the U.S. National Library of Medicine predicts that the prevalence of diabetes type 2 and type 1 will increase by 54% to more than 54.9 million Americans between 215 and 230. So everyone is at risk. Not only that, adults with diabetes have a 50% higher risk of death from any cause than adults without diabetes. Anyone suffering from diabetes deserves a better future. So it is time to take this disease by the reins and do everything in our power to stop it from happening, reverse it with nutrition, and manage it the best way we can. And that is what I will try to accomplish today. Let's begin with what is diabetes. Diabetes is a disease that occurs when your blood glucose, also called blood sugar, is too high. Blood sugar is your main source of energy and comes from the food you eat. Blood sugar needs an invitation to come into our cells, and that invitation is from insulin. Insulin is the key that lets glucose in the blood enter muscle cells. If there is no invitation by insulin to come into our cells, blood sugar gets stuck in the bloodstream and can't get into our muscles. With nowhere to go, sugar levels in the blood rise. Over time, having too much glucose in your blood can damage nerves, blood vessels, and organs. So insulin is an important hormone that allows your body to use sugar, also known as glucose. There are many types of diabetes, including type 1, type 2, gestational diabetes, prediabetes, and 1.5 diabetes. If you have type 1 diabetes, your body does not make insulin. Your immune system attacks and destroys the cells in your pancreas that make insulin. Type 1 diabetes is usually diagnosed in children and young adults, although it can appear at any age. People with type 1 diabetes need to take insulin every day to stay alive. And it is key and crucial to track blood sugar levels because it helps avoid low blood sugar levels called hypoglycemia, which can cause confusion, abnormal behavior, blurred vision, and even seizures. Checking your blood sugar levels also helps you avoid high blood sugar levels called hyperglycemia, which can also cause blurred vision, trouble with thinking, concentrating, and can result in a medical emergency called diabetic coma. In some cases, lack of blood sugar control can cause symptoms of depression. And when you are depressed, you are less likely to manage your diabetes well. Type 1 diabetes is a challenging disease, and that is why we must turn to nutrition to help heal our bodies. Type 2 diabetes is the most common diabetes. Over 85% of people with diabetes are type 2 diabetes. If you have type 2 diabetes, your body does not make or use insulin well. You can develop type 2 diabetes at any age, even during childhood. However, this type of diabetes occurs most often in middle-aged and older people. Gestational diabetes develops in some women when they're pregnant. Most of the time, this type of diabetes goes away after the baby is born. However, if you had gestational diabetes, you have a greater chance of developing type 2 diabetes later in life. Sometimes diabetes diagnosed during pregnancy is actually type 2 diabetes. There is also type 1.5 diabetes, which is a non-official term and also referred to as latent autoimmune disease. This type of diabetes can share some of the features of type 2 diabetes and of type 1 diabetes. Some people diagnosed with type 2 diabetes may actually have type 1.5. Prediabetes is the precursor stage before diabetes, where blood sugar is abnormally high. This stage is often referred to as the gray area. Without drastic lifestyle changes, people with prediabetes are likely to progress to type 2 diabetes. And the scary thing about prediabetes is that it may have no signs or symptoms, and you won't find out unless you have an annual physical and blood test. One possible sign that you may be at risk of type 2 diabetes is darkened skin on certain parts of your body. Affected areas can include the neck, armpits, elbows, knees, and knuckles. In classic signs and symptoms, that suggests you've moved from prediabetes to type 2 diabetes include increased thirst, frequent urination, fatigue, or blurred vision. Less common types of diabetes include monogenic diabetes, which is an inherited form of diabetes, and cystic fibrosis-related diabetes. For many years, diabetes has largely been classified as either type 1 or type 2. But a new study suggests that there may actually be 5 additional types of the disease. Just this month, a research article published in the Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology Report states that there needs to be an updated diabetes classification system, and it has not been updated during the past 20 years. Meanwhile, they wrote, diabetes is the fastest increasing disease worldwide, and existing treatments have been unable to stem the rise of diabetes or prevent the chronic complications. They go on to say that diabetes diagnosis is based on only one measurement: how the body metabolizes glucose. When the disease is so much more complex and much more individual. This study is very important because a new classification system could change the way we think about diabetes and help tailor and target treatment to patients better. So diabetes is a very complicated disease with many versions of the disease, and very stressful and frustrating for anyone suffering from diabetes. The first thing I want to talk about is type 2 diabetes and prediabetes because they are both a lifestyle disease. Lifestyle diseases are associated with the way a person lives. The main factors contributing to lifestyle diseases include diet and nutrition, lack of exercise, drug or alcohol abuse, and most importantly, unhealthy eating. With that said, it doesn't mean it's your fault that you have prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. many people have been duped by advertising, food pyramids, food trends, and misguided information about food and type 2 diabetes. But today, I am telling you that type 2 diabetes is reversible, and you can eliminate it from your life by changing what you eat. Diet and lifestyle have long been regarded as the main cause of type 2 diabetes. And now, many studies and research suggest that people on a healthy plant-based diet reduce their risk of diabetes by 78% compared with people who eat meat on a daily basis. This is partly because vegans are better able to control their weight. Carrying excess body fat is the number one risk factor of type 2 diabetes. With around 90% of those who develop the disease, they are overweight. Vegans, however, have lower levels of obesity on average than any other dietary group. It is also because saturated fats found in animal products contribute to insulin resistance, which is the cause of type 2 diabetes. And we will talk more about animal fat and diabetes. Now, let's talk about some studies. Studies dating back nearly a century showed that if you take young, healthy people and split them into two groups, one half eats an animal fat-rich diet and one half eats a carbohydrate-rich diet. They found within just 2 days, glucose intolerance skyrocketed in the animal fat group. And as the amount of fat in the diet went up, so did one's blood sugar. Why? Because if we clear the fat out of the blood, we also clear the sugar out. And as the amount of fat in your diet gets lower and lower, insulin works better and better. And the type of fat, saturated or unsaturated, is critical. Saturated fats in meat, dairy, and eggs cause insulin resistance. But oleate fat found in nuts, olives, and avocados can improve insulin sensitivity. The reason saturated fat is so bad is because saturated fat increases oxidative stress, free radicals, and inflammation, establishing a cycle of events in which saturated fat-induced free radicals cause dysfunction in our muscle cells, which cause an increase in free radical production and the impairment of insulin signaling. Researchers at the Imperial College of London compared the insulin resistance and muscle fat of vegans versus people who eat meat, dairy, and eggs. And they found significantly less fat trapped in the muscle cells of vegans compared to omnivores, even at the same body weight. They also found that the vegans had better insulin sensitivity, better blood sugar levels, better insulin levels, and improved beta cell function, which are the cells in the pancreas that make insulin in the first place. They concluded that eating vegan could help prevent diabetes. On August 29, 2006, a study was done where individuals with type 2 diabetes participated in a 22-week trial. One group ate a low-fat vegan diet, and the other group ate a diet following the American Diabetes Association guidelines. Both the low-fat vegan diet and the American Diabetes Association diet improved glycemic control. However, the changes were much greater in the vegan group. Dr. Neil Bernard was one of the doctors leading the study and wrote an entire book about it called Dr. Neil Bernard's Program for Reversing Diabetes, and I highly recommend it. I'll put a link in this week's show notes. What Dr. Bernard discovered through all his studies and research is that fat-rich diets raise blood sugar more than sugar-rich diets. That's not to say you should add more sugary foods and drinks to your diet, but many people suffering from prediabetes and type 2 diabetes don't know that fat-rich diets raise blood sugar. As recent as April 2017, the International Journal of Health Sciences study concluded that high carbohydrate and high monounsaturated fat diets improve insulin sensitivity. In May 2017, the Journal of Geriatric Cardiology studied the global epidemic of type 2 diabetes, citing 422 million cases worldwide. And here's what they said. For years, doctors and even the American Diabetes Association promoted a low-carb diet for diabetes control. There is a general consensus that the elements of a whole foods, plant-based diet, legumes, whole grains, fruits, vegetables, and nuts with limited or no intake of refined or processed foods and animal products are highly beneficial for preventing and treating type 2 diabetes. Equally important, plant-based diets address the bigger picture for patients with diabetes by simultaneously treating cardiovascular disease, which is the leading cause of death in the United States, and its risk factors such as obesity, hypertension, and inflammation. They also said the advantages of a plant-based diet also extend to reduction in risk of cancer, the second leading cause of death in the United States. I will put links to all the studies in my show notes. I know most of these studies emphasize type 2 diabetes, but people suffering with type 1 diabetes can also benefit from a plant-based diet. While type 1 diabetes may not be curable, the risk of complications can be greatly reduced on a plant-based diet. I recommend researching Dr. John McDougall, who has had great success with a high-starch plant-based diet for diabetics. Now, let's discuss foods to eat to help prevent and reverse type 2 diabetes and prediabetes, and also improve symptoms for type 1 diabetes. Vegetables, grains, legumes, fruits, and healthy fats like nuts and seeds all contain antioxidant enzymes, which build up your defense mechanisms to disease. Also, the phytonutrients in plant foods can help lower chronic disease prevalence by lowering cholesterol and blood sugar. These plant-based foods also contain lots of fiber. Fiber can also decrease insulin resistance by helping to rid the body of excess estrogen. There is some strong evidence that estrogens play a role in the cause of diabetes. Plant-based foods like grains, legumes, vegetables, fruits, and healthy fats can also alleviate unhealthy intestinal bacteria, which can produce estrogen. By eating lots of fiber, we can flush this excess estrogen out of our bodies. Some other superfoods for diabetics include chia seeds. Chia seeds come from the Salvia hispanica plant. Chia seeds are a total protein. They are high in fiber, rich in healthy omega-3s, even higher than a piece of salmon. And they are also high in calcium and antioxidants. Chia seeds also promote healthy skin, reduces signs of aging, support the heart and digestive system, and helps build strong bones and muscles. All of that in one little magnificent seed. In a study from Diabetes Care, 20 people with diabetes who ate chia seeds showed that it helped participants control blood glucose, reduce blood pressure, and lower C-reactive protein, which is a major marker of heart disease. And you can add chia seeds to almost anything. They're easy to digest and one of the best-kept secrets of the nutrition industry. So even if you're not diabetic, I recommend including chia seeds in your diet every day. Here are some chia seed ideas I shared in podcast number 6, Boost Your Health and Energy with the All-Powerful Seed. All you have to do is make a gel by adding a half cup of seeds to 2 cups of water. You whisk that mixture well to avoid the clumping, and then you leave it in your refrigerator for at least 2 hours to thicken. Then you can take that gel and add it to sauces, drinks, salad dressings, or hot cereals. The gel won't affect flavor, and it will make you feel full, faster, and longer. One of my favorite ways to use chia seeds is to make a chia seed pudding, and all you need is 3 tablespoons of chia seeds, 1 cup of plant milk, like unsweetened almond milk, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla, and 1 organic packet of stevia. Then you mix that all together and place it in the refrigerator to set for a couple of hours or overnight. I recommend covering it with blueberries because blueberries are another superfood for diabetics. A recent study found that obese, insulin-resistant volunteers who consumed blueberry smoothies for 6 weeks significantly improved insulin sensitivity. Another food I highly recommend are leafy greens, and I would have them every day, like spinach, kale, collard greens, or rainbow chard. Similar to blueberries, greens are packed with antioxidants that will reduce the glycemic response to higher carb foods, especially Swiss chard. Swiss chard contains an antioxidant known as alpha-lipoic acid, and that has been shown to lower glucose levels, increase insulin sensitivity, and prevent oxidative stress-induced changes in patients with diabetes. Other studies suggest it can also reduce the symptoms of peripheral neuropathy or autonomic neuropathy in people with diabetes. And it also protects against retinopathy, which is damage to the blood vessels that can affect people with diabetes. Now, let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen and create a simple Swiss chard dish that has a little sweetness and a little savory. I am using raisins for the sweetness because researchers studied 46 adults who had slight increases in glucose levels but no previous diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. They were divided into 2 groups. The first group was instructed to snack on raisins 3 times a week per day for 12 weeks, while the second group ate snacks that did not contain raisins or other fruits or vegetables. The findings were very interesting. Researchers found that snacking on raisins reduced blood glucose levels by 16% compared to the control group. This favorable glucose effect of raisins was further supported by a significant reduction in hemoglobin A1C, which tells you your average level of blood sugar. Also, the nuts in this recipe contains fiber and antioxidants that help sensitize your cells to insulin. A study of volunteers at risk of heart disease found when they supplemented their diets with nuts, they had a significant reduction in 24-hour insulin levels compared to when they consumed a whole wheat muffin. Let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen and prepare a tasty Swiss chard recipe. It's called Swiss chard with raisins and pine nuts. Here's what you need. 2 pounds of Swiss chard that's been stemmed and washed well, and then the stem should be diced and set aside. 1/2 cup of vegetable broth. 2 garlic cloves, minced. 3 tablespoons of pine nuts. 3 tablespoons of raisins. And salt and ground black pepper to taste. So, let's begin by prepping our Swiss chard and raisins. Place 3 tablespoons of raisins in a bowl and pour hot water on it to cover, and soak that for about 10 minutes, then drain. Fill a bowl with ice water. Bring a large pot of water to boil and add the chard. Cook for 2 minutes, then transfer the chard to the bowl of ice water and let it sit for a minute. Drain and squeeze out as much water as you can and chop it coarsely. Next, you heat 1/2 cup of vegetable broth in a large skillet. You add those charred stems and cook those 3 to 5 minutes or until they're tender. Then you add the pine nuts and cook another 2 minutes. Add the garlic and cook another minute. Add the chopped greens and raisins and toss together, adding more vegetable broth if needed. Season to taste with a little salt and ground black pepper and serve. This serves 4. You could even top it with a little balsamic vinegar, because vinegar also improves pancreatic function so that your body releases less insulin in response to the carbs you eat. I will put the recipe in this week's show notes. So let's go over the diabetes superfoods we have so far. Chia seeds, blueberries, nuts, and leafy greens, especially Swiss chard. But that's not all. Cinnamon and spices like turmeric can mimic insulin, which means that less insulin needs to be released from the pancreas in order to regulate blood sugar. Cinnamon also helps glucose get into the cells to be burned for energy. Sprinkle it in your chia pudding or on oatmeal. Avocado contains a powerful dose of healthy fat, fiber, and antioxidants that can improve insulin sensitivity. Topping high-carb foods like toast with avocado will lower the insulin response by slowing digestion and moderating the rise in blood sugar. Now let's get back to your everyday foods. Grains like farro and quinoa and brown rice. Legumes like lentils and beans. Lots of vegetables, fruit, and healthy sides of nuts, seeds, and avocado. What I am advocating to treat and even reverse some types of diabetes is a complete, healthy, whole foods, plant-based diet. I know many of you are saying, what about high-fat, low-carb diets like the keto diet? There are many reasons why a ketogenic diet is a bad idea. Many patients on very low-carb diets can't sustain them long-term. Eventually, those people regain their weight and their blood sugar problems come back. And like all those high-fat diets that came before it, like the Atkins diet, at first things look good and then people realize how terrible they feel after a few months. Because maintaining a low-carbohydrate diet means little to no fresh fruits and low-fiber intake due to the lack of plant foods in the diet, causing constipation and eventually spiking blood glucose. As the amount of fat in our diet gets lower and lower, insulin works better and better. We can decrease insulin resistance by decreasing fat intake. Most importantly, high-fat animal diets are the cause of heart disease and cancer. It is as simple as that. Please listen to my very first podcast, how to get started on a plant-based diet, to learn more about the connection between animal protein and diabetes. High-fat diets are fad diets and present some serious risks of chronic disease. That is it, bottom line. And meat consumption is consistently associated with diabetes risk. So, you're probably asking yourself, how do you begin? You need to begin by omitting red meat, white meat, dairy, oils, seafood, eggs, and refined carbohydrates, and replace those with grains like brown rice and quinoa, legumes like lentils and beans, lots of vegetables, fruit, and healthy portions of nuts, seeds, and avocado. I know it may sound overwhelming at first, but take it one day at a time. You can go to my website and find all the tools you need to begin or maintain a healthy whole foods plant-based diet, including vegan shopping lists, protein lists, soy and gluten-free guides, and lots of healthy recipes. I will put links to Dr. Neil Bernard's book on reversing diabetes and Dr. John McDougall's book called The McDougall Program. I also recommend that you watch the documentary Forks Over Knives or What the Health for even more information, because you deserve a healthy future. Well, that's it. Before I go, I am excited to announce that I am now launching CBD oil drops from hemp. You spoke, I listened. After I announced that I was carrying the CBD oil tablets, many of you asked for the drops. These drops are vegan, of course, non-GMO, gluten-free, seed-to-shelf, meaning no go-betweens, and grown without pesticides, herbicides, and chemical fertilizers. They are grown from hemp, not marijuana, and can't get you high. CBD oil drops has shown a lot of potential for pain relief and can be used orally or used topically on knee pain, back pain, neuropathy, and carpal tunnel syndrome. People are also using it for anxiety disorders and migraines. You can find it on my website at ordinaryvegan.net. I decided to provide CBD oil because I believe in the health benefits and the testimonials from all of you. And my goal is to help you live a long and healthy life. Okay, that is it. I appreciate all of you for being here today, for all your feedback, your reviews on iTunes, and your kind words and encouragement. Today's podcast was brought by all of you who reached out to me about doing a podcast on diabetes. Sorry it took so long, but there was so much to study. And I hope I did a good job, because I am here to serve you and keep you well. Thank you again for joining me today. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. And if you get a minute, please rate and review it in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you are listening on, so more people can learn the health benefits of a plant-based diet. You can find all my recipes and podcasts on ordinaryvegan.net. Please join our Facebook community at facebook.com/ordinaryvegan so you don't miss any of my Facebook Live cooking shows and the company of over 317,000 health and wellness community members. Thanks, guys. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.